Good morning, friends. Good morning to each and every listener of the broadcast. It is certainly a pleasure to be coming your way today with a short gospel message. Let us turn to the 10th chapter of Mark and begin with verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou likest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about, and saith unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say unto him, "Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." That is through verse 31 of the 10th chapter of Mark. There are five things I'd like you to notice about this young man. All of these pertain to his conduct, his spirit, and the question which he asked. This was a rich young ruler, now keep in mind. One, he came running. This indicates that he was deeply concerned and convinced of the importance of his business, and that he was seriously determined to seek so as to find. Two, he kneeled or caught him by the knees, this showing his humility and seeking only for mercy. Oh, what a penitent soul he was. Three, he came in the spirit of a disciple or a scholar desiring to be taught of a matter of the utmost importance to him. He said, "Good master, what shall I do to be saved?" Four, he came in the spirit of obedience. He had worked hard, perhaps, to no purpose, and was still willing to work, provided he could have a prospect of succeeding. So he said, "What good thing shall I do?" I believe if Jesus had shown him some way to work at this, he would have gone and done just that. Five, his question was the most interesting and important that any soul could ask. How can I be saved? It was like the jailer of Philippi. What must I do to be saved? Now, the ceremonial ordinance of the law, of course, would have been done away with in the coming of Christ. They had a spiritual shadow which pointed to better things. But these moral aspects of the law, which Jesus named, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." These are still as good now as they were then. To those who would say these commandments were not binding on us now, let me say, vain deceived men. Can a murderer, an adulterer, a thief, a liar enter into eternal life? No. the God of purity and justice has forbidden it. But we're not to keep these commandments in order to purchase eternal life. No, Jesus did not say so, neither do his ministers of the truth say so. To save your soul, Christ must save you from your sins and enable you to walk before him in newness of life. But the young ruler replied, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" In other words, "I've made these precepts the rule of my life." The young man modestly said, "I have observed, I've paid attention to, and endeavored to regulate my conduct by them." But perhaps the young man meant no more than that he had in general observed them and considered them of continual obligation. Yet he must have felt a troubled conscience, and his mind felt unassured of the approval of God upon his life. For he asked, "What lack I yet?" He realized that something was lacking to make him really happy, and he was anxious to find out what that was. Well, he did find out, but oh, it was to his own sorrow and hurt. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." That's verse 21 and Mark 10 now. Jesus was saying to him, to be complete, to have the business finished, and all hindrances to thy salvation removed, go and sell that thou hast. Go and dispose of thy possessions, to which it is evident his heart was too much attached, and give to the poor, for thy goods will be a continual snare to thee if thou keep them, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. The loss, if we can call it such, shall be made up to thee in that eternal life about which thou inquirest, and come and follow me. Be my disciple, and I will appoint thee to preach the kingdom of God to others. This was a usual call to his disciples, and it is pretty evident that he would have called this rich young ruler to also preach the gospel if he had been willing to obey this one thing that hindered. But dear ones, I declare to you that many have lost the honor of becoming or continuing to be counted worthy to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ because of their attachment to the filthy lucre of this world. This was indeed the case of the rich young ruler. And so what did he do? He went away sorrowfully. Men undergo great agony of mind while they are in suspense between the love of the world and the love of their souls. When they yield to the love of the world, they try to pretend to have peace, but it is a false peace and they are still restless. But when they really yield all to Christ, then they possess true tranquility of mind through that peace of God that passeth all understanding. After all, what were these possessions worth in comparison to peace of conscience and mental rest? And besides, he had proof that these riches contributed very little, if anything, to his comfort and peace of mind, for he possessed the riches, yet still was miserable without the peace of God in his heart. And so it is with all those who place worldly goods first in their lives and foremost instead of God. Jesus went on to point out how unlikely it is that a rich man will enter the kingdom of God. Earthly riches are a great obstacle to salvation because it is almost impossible to possess them and not to set the heart upon them. And they who love the world have not the love of the Father in them. 1 John 2:15. To be rich, therefore, is in general a great misfortune. But what rich man can be convinced of this? It is only God himself who, by a miracle of mercy, can do this. Christ himself affirms the difficulty of the salvation of a rich man, but who of the rich either hears or believes him? This poem describes so perfectly how this rich young ruler went away. Listen, nameless, I hope this impresses you as much as it does me. We're not told his name, this rich young ruler who sought the Lord that day. We only know that he had great possessions and that he went away. He went away from joy and peace and power, from love unguessed, untold, from that eternal life that he was seeking, back to his paltry gold, back to the weary discontent that brought him first to the Savior's side, with heart that hungered still and soul that thirsted, unblessed, unsatisfied. He went away. He kept his earthly treasure, but oh, at what a cost, afraid to take the cross and lose his riches, and God and heaven were lost. So for the tinsel bonds that held and drew him, what honor he let slip, comrade of John and Paul and friend of Jesus, what glorious fellowship. For they who left there all to follow Jesus have found a deathless fame. On his immortal scroll of saints and martyrs, God wrote each shining name. We should have read his there, the rich young ruler, if he had stayed that day. Nameless, though Jesus loved him, even nameless, because he went away. Our Father, we thank thee that it is possible for every soul to be saved. You've made provision for our salvation. We accept that atonement. And we say, Lord, lead us on from victory to victory. We pray that you would strip us of every earthly thing that would keep us from doing your will. Bless every listener this day in the way which they need. Give peace and pardon because they're willing to accept thy ways. And for that which is accomplished, we'll surely give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, I'm so much impressed by the thoughts presented here of the rich young ruler. It didn't give his name. You notice that from the poem. It didn't tell what his name was. Maybe we'll never know in this world what his name was. But we could have known if he had been willing to follow the Savior. And I wonder if there might be those out there that we never know of or hear of because they're unwilling to go the way of Christ. Wouldn't it be much better to just strip ourselves of everything that would hinder us from going all the way? After all, we have promised that we'll receive 100-fold more in this world, houses and lands and all, with persecutions, and in the world to come, everlasting life. May the Lord evermore give you that peace. If you've enjoyed the message, we'd be so happy to hear from you. Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying God bless and keep you always, and a very cheerful goodbye.